Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. What is the Christian walk? Ask another way, what are the Lord's lifestyle demands for believers in Christ? Or as Peter asked in his second letter, what sort of people ought you believers in Christ be in holy conduct and godliness? The New Testament is filled with the Lord's thoughts on this matter. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Lord says through the writer of the letter of Hebrews, therefore I urge you, brethren, that's a reference to believers in Christ, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In the New Testament, believers are no longer asked for animal sacrifices, as were Old Testament believers. Instead, they're asked to put their whole selves on the line in full-time service to the Lord as living sacrifices, not as animal sacrifices. We are to sacrifice our entire lives and all our activities in service of the Lord. Then the Lord gives us the how of holy conduct and godliness. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't adopt the thinking of the kingdom of death. Don't listen to the temptations of the devil. Don't be twisted and turned by this world. Instead, keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's why we come here. We come here because we want to be transformed in our thinking. The Lord warns us not to be conformed to the world. The Lord encourages us to renew our thinking at least daily through the study of the Word of God. The how of holy conduct and godliness, the how of the Christian walk is pretty simple. When you boil it all down, the Lord highlights it this way in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus answered the lawyer saying, you shall love the Lord God unconditionally with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor unconditionally, just as you love yourself unconditionally. Loving self unconditionally, a new relationship to sin. Loving others unconditionally. Wow. Simple. What's the secret? All. Welcome to a place where you can learn how to worship the one and only God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with all of yourself. The opening song for this lesson is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone. Amazing grace, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing. Shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbid to shine, but Him that's called me here below shall be forever mine. Christ shall be forever mine. Lord, You are forever mine.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Renew our minds, remove our chains, open our eyes to Your grace. Help us to realize all You did for us at the cross so that we can give all of ourselves to the new life that You planned for us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, our new identity breaks our old relationship with sin. Our new identity breaks our old relationship with sin. Recently, a believer in Christ wrote me a letter, and in self-reflection, he said this: I'm getting a lot out of biblical study. It's difficult to convert what I'm learning into application, but I'm working on it. I think that's a pretty apt description about the way we all feel. I'm working on it. And if you really dig deep below that, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Yet we know we're not. So if you were a pastor, what would you tell this growing believer? If you're being honest, you'd have to tell this believer, stop working on it. Paul highlights this idea in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I am confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a good work in you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. You don't have to work on yourself, because God's working on you. He had a plan for you a billion years ago, and He's working on it. And He's bringing all the people, all the circumstances, all the experiences into your life to shape you into the exact person He wants you to be. And the thing about the comment from the believer is there's a bit of self-castigation in it. You know, there's always a part of us that is really feeling disappointed with ourselves. And that's simply because we expect too much of ourselves. Let God work on it. He wants to work on it. When we obsess with our inability to live the life God expects of us, and when we have had quite enough of trying, we turn to God and ask Him to do it all for us, and that's exactly what He does. As Christians, we continue our study of Romans chapter 6, and we ask ourselves a haunting question. If sin is no longer our sovereign because we died to sin, what is our sovereign? Who is our sovereign? How should we be spending our time as Christians once we realize our inability to live up to God's standards? In today's lesson, we'll begin the journey to relaxation, knowing that there are things that God has put in place for us to relax. But first, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is March 15th, 2015. And that's because rather than we usually celebrate on the second Sunday of the month, but there's no face-to-face teaching on March 8th. The congregation is invited to view the services live on March 6th, beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Otherwise, they'll be able to see the lessons, hear the lessons on the website on March 8th at the regular time. Reminder, check in on Facebook before church service. And also reminder, like Barah Ministries on Facebook. There are nearly 2,700 people that have signed up to be a part of our online community. Get your friends to join our online community today and Facebook lessons. The recording begins tomorrow night between 7 and 8, and you're invited to attend. The lessons will be up and running in March. We're going to get 6 in the can before we start releasing them one at a time. Last weekend, we visited the vets. It was a very enjoyable time, as usual. And I stuck around for about an hour and a half afterward and hung out with some of the vets, and it was really interesting to me to listen to their story, you know, to listen to the story about how their families treat them, to listen to the stories about what goes on inside the vet. You know, for all those guys, you know, there's a lot of wheelchair intimidation, a lot of yelling at each other. And so it was really interesting to hear some of those stories. We really like those guys, and we really enjoy going to see them. Thanks to Kevin Collins and Tracy Bixby for visiting the resident congregation. We really appreciated that. Thanks to all our guests who are here. We really like seeing you. Meredith, it's good to see you and your family here from Awa. That large yellow disc in the sky, that's called the sun. Have you guys seen that lately?
Yeah.
Oh, you got... No, but I mean out here you did, right? But not back at home. You're not seeing that over there, not right? You know, I know Chicago had 51 days of sunshine a year. Phoenix has 305. So you have a very nice lobster thing going on there. Keep it up. And I also want to thank the non-resident congregation for your financial support. Quite frankly, we wouldn't exist without you. The teen lessons begin today, February 22nd, from 11:30 to 1, and, you know, we're on a fast pace, faster pace than usual, so we may start that earlier than 11:30, but it'll be an hour and a half, and it should be a fun time, and we're going to study John chapter 1. My plan is to go through 5 verses, but if we get more than that, that'll be fun, too. And just so you know, John is the gospel that talks about the deity of Jesus Christ, and that demonstrates that he is indeed God. I will be using the Socratic method for teaching, so I'll be asking you questions that I expect you to answer. I'll lead you to the answers in the Bible. We should have a fun time. Bring your questions and bring your voice. The next deacon meeting is March 7th at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. The deacons meet every 2 weeks, and we plan out what we're going to do and what we're working on. And one of the things that is primary in our mind right now is finding a financing source that can grant us a $2 million grant so that we can build a facility on our property. Happy birthdays are in order for Tim Mulligan, who had a birthday yesterday, February 21st. Tim's a member of our non-resident congregation, and he's upstate in Arizona. Happy birthday to Brian Kramer coming up February 25th. How old are you now? How old are you going to be? 45. That's awesome. Halfway. Or less. And then happy birthday to June Murphy coming up Friday. So I got some text messages from Pennsylvania that said, you're killing it today, so keep up the good work. Yeah, except that one time you went. Next, let's take the offering. This is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world who can't afford to pay to study the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge by means of internet teaching or by means of face-to-face teaching. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Guess this is for the people in the congregation and not necessarily for you, unless you just want to. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. You guys are kind of weak.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Berea Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Berea Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. I've been thinking a lot about, with current events, I've been thinking a lot about 9/11, September 11th, when that happened, and not so much the event itself, but what happened afterwards, how the country came together. You know, everybody was identified separately in their own different cliques and their nationalities and races and churches, and when that happened, it was, we're Americans. You saw the U.S. flag on a lot of vehicles, it popped up everywhere, and you know, we were united together, and it was like AM radio was the new call. You know, we were all listening to the radio, what was happening, what was going on the next day, and you know, but it faded away. You know, the just like the stickers faded, that patriotism faded, because we all came back to our identities, like Pastor talked about last week, how we all have identities. We identify ourselves not as children of God, but as part of this world, and in whatever our favorite thing is to do. And it creates disunity. You see, we're unified in this church. We're unified in Christ. And just you guys showing up here is unity in person and unity in action. And as we're learning, we're unifying our minds. And it's such an amazing thing to think about. There's people across the country, around the world, tuning in right now just to hear Pastor Rory and hear a message of truth from the Bible. And I just hope that, you know, you take advantage of this opportunity to give. You know, and any chance to give to others, you know, not just, you don't have to be here and have it be noticed, but any chance to give of your thoughts, your motivations, your actions. And, you know, I just hope that we don't fade in the same way that our patriotism faded. We need to stay strong, like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy from God, we do not lose heart. So don't lose heart in current events. Don't lose heart in this church if it's not growing fast enough. You know, we're doing amazing things, and we plan on doing a ton of amazing things, thanks to major contributions from non-resident congregation, as well as this congregation. So thank you so much as we listen to our song.
I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm thankful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me on, 'cause there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near. Of love.
I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm thankful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me your own, 'cause there's no place I'd rather be.
Welcome back. So I was watching the contributions from the back, and I just want to say something to kids. You know, I didn't see you guys reaching in your pocket or anything. You know, you need to give us some of that lunch money. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't want to have to be a bully, you know, and stand at the door and take your lunch money when you guys come in here. You know what I mean? Because I know you got some money. I mean, you got video game money, you got Cheetos money, Doritos money. So, you know, you could, you know, and I don't want any crumpled up dollar bills either. I'm talking about some 10s and 20s, you know what I'm saying? So don't make me turn into a bully and just beat you up on the playground. You see what I mean? You feel me on that? I'm just kidding. But you know what? It is good for kids to think about giving, right? As opposed to taking all the time. All right, cool. Happy birthday, Mike.
Thanks.
You're welcome. February 28th. I wish you had been born on the 29th. Yeah, next week is the 1st. Yeah, I should have squeezed that baby in, huh? Yeah, so don't make me bully you guys, okay? You know, I'll stand by the door, you know, traumatize you if I have to. Just kidding. All right, today's study, our new identity breaks our old relationship with sin. Our new identity breaks our old relationship with sin. Turn to Romans chapter 6. The next part of our opening passage in the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 6 contains some thoughts that begin with verse 3. And here it is. Or do you not know that all of us believers in Christ who have been baptized into union with Christ by God the Holy Spirit have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with Christ through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life, in the new life. Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we believers in Christ have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and we have, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, put out of the way, taken off like clothing and discarded, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died to sin is freed from sin. Now, baptism is in view in this passage. Baptism is in view. Think about that. What is baptism? The Christian way of life begins with a death. At that moment, when you say, Father, I believe in Christ, you make the decision that you want to be saved. And you have a private conversation with God the Father. Father, I believe in Christ. You then die. Now, that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? How is it that we as Christians move from the condemnation of spiritual death in Adam into another death by means of baptism? Well, through the baptism of God the Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, we believers in Christ are placed into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean exactly? It means that you become a Siamese twin with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're attached at the hip. And wherever he goes, you go. And you could never get out of that relationship. Now, you go to some churches, they'll tell you you can lose your salvation. John 10:28 says that's not true. Turn there, please. Take a look at John chapter 10, verse 28. Hold your places in Romans 6, but go to John chapter 10, verse 28. John, what we're going to be studying with the kids today, John, about the deity of Christ. John chapter 10, verse 28 says this, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to every believer in Christ. I give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You can't lose your salvation. But you hear people who believe you can say, yeah, but here's the problem. You see, after you believed in Christ, then you keep on sinning. And what that means is you had a head belief, but not a heart belief. And I start flipping through here looking for that. Where's the head belief, heart belief part? It's not in there. So people make stuff up because they can't get comfortable with grace. They can't get comfortable with the fact that God could do something for us and give us a free gift so that we wouldn't have to worry about our mistakes. But we love obsessing about our mistakes. Our whole conversation set in relationships is who did what right, who did what wrong. It's a waste of time. Do you honestly believe that you're going to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't make mistakes? You're always going to be in a relationship like that. And so you got to get over that right-wrong crap. So, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, we believers in Christ are placed in union with Christ. And from that moment forward, baptism, we are always identified with the Lord, and we are identified with everything that is the Lord's. From the moment of baptism on, you are the Lord's possession. How does that feel? How does it feel to know that the moment you believe in Christ, the sovereign of the universe considers you a possession, a precious possession? That's an amazing thing. Baptism means identification. Whether it is water baptism, which, by the way, is never the means of salvation, or the baptism of God, the Holy Spirit, which is always the means of salvation. Good news for you. You don't become baptized because you decide to get dunked in a tank of water. All you get is dirty. I was out in Israel at the Jordan River watching these people put on these white robes and walk out into the Jordan River to be baptized. You know, they grab the person's nose, dip them back down, bring them back up, and charge them, you know, $50, $100. And the Jordan River is filthy. Now, you know what I noticed? I ain't seen no brothers in the line. You know what I'm saying? I ain't seen no brothers in that line. Couple reasons. Brothers ain't got no money, and brothers can't swim. Amen? There weren't no brothers in that line, just like you don't see any brothers in Boston jumping out the window into snowbanks. Did you hear about that this week? The people are jumping out of the window. The mayor had to say, would you guys please stop doing that? You're going to die. And you look online, there are no brothers jumping out windows. We got better things to do with our time. Is that racist? Yes, I think it is. You're dark, though. We come from the same tribe, you know what I'm saying? That's not just suntan. So baptism means identification. Whether it's water baptism or the baptism of God, the Holy Spirit, which is the means of salvation, and you're glad because God does your salvation, and he never changes his mind, which is why you're saved once and for all time. So because of baptism, believers are identified with Christ. Now, whether we're dunked in a water as a public symbol of a spiritual decision, which is what baptism is always called, or not, and water baptism is not, under any circumstances, a requirement for salvation. What God is doing at the moment of baptism is drowning our connection to our former life in Adam, condemned, and God is starting a new connection for us to the in Christ life. There it is. The old life is dead, buried, crucified. The new life has begun. So take a 5-minute break and we'll see the path of death at baptism leading to the resurrection life. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into union with Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Baptism begins with death. Believers in Christ are identified with Christ's death. Here's what that means. We move from death to life. You know, we talked about that in our Lord's Supper celebrations, that that in each of the spiritual phases, there's always a death followed by a life. So what is the death here? We move from sin when we're in Adam to righteousness. God imputes to us his righteousness at the moment of salvation, which is our admission ticket to heaven. We move from personal sins to good. And so our personal sins are put away and we do good through God the Holy Spirit. We move from the old man to the new man. The old man is dead and now the new man has come to life. We move from the world to the kingdom. At the beginning of this lesson, don't be conformed to this world. Instead, keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here are some of them. All right, so at baptism, we move from a life of sin in Adam to a life of righteousness in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says this, "As in Adam, all are set to die the second death." When we're all born, we're born in Adam. We're born with the federal head of the human race as our sovereign, Adam. And he was destined for the second death because of his sin until he believed in Christ. So, "For as in Adam, all are set to die the second death." We're all set to die the second death until we believe in Christ. "So also in Christ, all will be made alive." So we move from life of sin in Adam to a life of righteousness in Christ. We move from an over-concern with personal sins to the doing of good under the direction of God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. "Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God the Father as those alive from the dead, and present your members as instruments of righteousness to God." There, that's the whole New Testament in a nutshell. Don't do this, do this. If you're thinking about doing that, it's not going to work out for you. Do this. We move from being directed by the old man to the new life in the new man. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, "Therefore we have been buried with Christ through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we too might walk in the new life." We move from being a friend of the world to Satan's kingdom of death to being a friend of God the Father in the kingdom of his beloved Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. "God the Father rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us believers in Christ to the kingdom of his beloved Son." That's it. You know, God is so simple. Here's what not to do, here's what to do. Don't stay condemned. Believe in Christ and have eternal life. Don't be conformed. Be transformed. There's nothing confused or confusing about God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ lived the picture of holy conduct and godliness. The Lord Jesus Christ walked in a manner worthy of the calling to which he was called. And it all began with a death which we believers are identified with. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. That's in the New Testament, so it's in the back part of the book. Let me hear those pages turning. I remember when I used to go to church when I was a kid, you'd always get that person with the big ugly tongue who was always doing that. As they were turning the pages, it just drove me crazy. That's horrible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. And they were always sick. And then they always wanted to shake your hand afterwards. Like, no, man. You remember in Roman Catholicism, we always had that handshake of peace. You know, you turn to your brother and shake their hand. Nah, man. I'm not shaking your hand. Was that wrong? Was that not demonstrating fellowship? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also died for sins once for all, not yearly as in the Old Testament. The just one, Christ, died for the unjust, all mankind, so that Christ might bring us to God the Father, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by means of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit makes us alive, in pneumati in the Greek. All right, so that verse is the picture of the cross. Christ died for sins once for all. No more yearly sacrifice, like in the Old Testament. One Christ died for the unjust, all mankind, so that Christ might bring us to God the Father, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by means of the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:19, in which also the Lord Jesus Christ went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison in Tartarus, who are the demons from Genesis 6. What did Christ do in that 3 days after he was crucified? After he experienced death, he was buried. And for 3 full days, his body was in the ground. When he was on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." His spirit went to the right hand of God the Father, and his soul went to paradise under the ground and in a specific compartment, Tartarus, where the demons of Genesis 6 reside, the demons who violated the terms of the creator-creature conflict. And he told them, "You guys lost." And these were the demons who cohabitated with women and created a race of super creatures, which is what necessitated the flood that wiped out everyone on the earth except 8 people. 1 Peter 3:20, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, all believers in Christ, Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, his kids, and their wives, were brought safely through the water. 1 Peter 3:21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, especially if you're in the Jordan River, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what you're doing when you ask to believe in Christ? When you say you believe in Christ, you're really asking for a good conscience. Really saying, "I want to be a good person." That's what you're saying. "I no longer want sin to be my master." 1 Peter 3:22, Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Angels, authorities, and powers became a footstool for his feet. And so what kind of holy conduct and godliness for us believers in Christ? This kind. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." That's what we're to do. "So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." That's the holy conduct of a believer in Christ. We stop lusting for the things of this world. We start making ourselves present for God. We start letting ourselves be led by God the Holy Spirit. We go to him and we ask him, "What do you want me to do?" And that takes form in every single interaction that you have with people. You could be waiting around in a clothing store, and you could be talking to somebody, and you can be talking to them about Christ. "Hey, what's your spiritual life like?" And you can find out. You can listen, and then you can offer them something. Say, "This is something you should consider." And why? Why would we do that? Why would we want to invite somebody to that salvation? Well, we died to sin. Sin is no longer our sovereign. We have a new identity. We are in Christ, Romans 6:3 and following. "Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into union with Christ? Have been baptized into his death. Therefore, having been buried with Christ through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we too might walk in the new life. For if we believers in Christ have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and we have, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died to sin is freed from sin. We are identified with his death. We're identified with his burial. We're identified with his resurrection. He was raised from the dead, and so will you be. That's what makes Christ different. Okay, he said he was God. That's really cool. But he also was raised from the dead. And he spent 40 days showing everybody that he had been raised from the dead. We are identified with his ascension. One day we will ascend into heaven. And we're identified with his session. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we are seated right at the right hand of God the Father right this moment. We don't even understand what that means yet. This new identity that God has given us, this new identity that God is surfacing for us, this new relation to sin that he is surfacing for us, demands a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, and a new life. And that is the only life worth living. And you're invited. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are guarantees. And here are some of those guarantees. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth. Through the word of God, I am the Zoe life, the resurrection life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, the Zoe life, right at that moment, not a future event. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, but instead the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Closing song, I Can't Disappoint You.
Your love's not the love of man. You won't give it, then take it away. It is in your grace I stand, and your mercies are new every day. You don't make me jump through hoops. I can't do nothing to earn your love. You've known me eternally, and your love is unconditional. And I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you know me up and down. Your love remains, it remains the same. You won't take it away, 'cause I can't disappoint you, oh no. I can't disappoint you. You've forgiven all my sins. I've been forgiven of all of my sins. You remember to forget. You won't bring them up to me again. And you've given me your righteousness, made me perfect. Now I'm in your hands. You bore all my guilt and shame. You're the rock upon which I stand. And I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you know me up and down. Your love remains, it remains the same. You won't take it away, 'cause I can't disappoint you, oh. I can't disappoint you, no. You're all-knowing God, never caught off guard. Knew all I would do. Yeah, you knew my heart before time began. You chose to provide all I'd ever need. Nothing's on the fly. You will not deny me. I'm forever yours. Salvation is secure, and your love will never, ever change. You won't take it away, 'cause I can't disappoint you or ever.
June. Let us pray. Jackson, what's up, man? You want to pray right now? It's time to pray. You want to pray? Let's pray. Thank you, Almighty God, for sending us guests. Thank you for sending us your word. Thank you for letting your word permeate our souls and to go deep inside so that we can really understand exactly what it is that you want us to know. And I pray that everyone who's at the other end of this message will hear loud and clear the gospel message and will respond to it right now, not put it off, because it's the best decision any of us can make in this life. And I pray that you bring the circumstances about which make this and the other ministries that are teaching the truth of the Word of God valuable in this world. We ask this all through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.